Hope MX Network production.
This is the Rocky Mountain ATV MC Kiefer Tested Podcast, the podcast you come to for the straight insight on all things moto-centric. Hard parts, bikes, gear, suspension, motor mods, and more. It's Kiefer Tested. Here he is, Chris Kiefer.
Welcome in to the Rocky Mountain ATVMC.com Kiefer Tested Podcast presented by FXR Racing and REP Suspension. Thank you for downloading this episode and thanks for subscribing to our show. We appreciate it. Welcome in to the lovely high desert of California. Can't wait to talk about the 2024 250 SXF Factory Edition. I got my son Aiden.
What's up, guys?
Aiden's pretty good on a podcast. If you guys might have watched the Racer X video that is out right now, if you guys want to see the video side of this test, racerxonline.com. Aiden is with me as well. For some reason, you get clammed up.
I do. I don't know why, but
you just check out.
I just check. Like, I don't know.
If I had this pointed at you right now, this phone, and it just said, okay, camera's on video, and you just would check out.
Well, here's the thing is that I'm fine with it, right? It's if I have something to talk about that I don't like, it's hard for me. It's hard for me.
So you're saying you completely hate this motorcycle?
No.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, if you give me something and I don't like it, like, if I don't have anything good to really say about something,
yeah,
I don't know what to say. And then I don't want to sound like an idiot and then make something up.
Right, yeah, you don't make anything up.
Exactly. So I don't really know what to say. That's why I think I get frozen is because I just don't know what to say.
Okay. Well, so we're going to talk a little bit more about this right after
okay. We
do these reads. You want to do the Rocky Mountain read?
You want to be here for 8 hours?
No one wants to be here for 8 hours for reads. You guys want to do some shopping, RockyMountainATVMC.com is the one-stop shop for you guys to go do that. Parts, accessories, gear for dirt bikes, side-by-sides, ATVs, spiders. Anything that you got. From what I heard, slingshot people and spiders people hate it if one group calls their machine another. So if that was a spider and I say that's a slingshot, they're mad. If that's a slingshot and I say that's a spider, they get mad at me.
But it's the same thing, isn't
it? No, it's not. Like saying spider, so that's why I say it.
It both have three wheels, doesn't it?
If I see three wheels and an old retired couple riding, I just say spider. That's what I do. Anyway, if you got a spider, go to KieferInkTesting.com. Click on the Rocky Mountain banner. It's the only banner on our website, and that has been like that for 7 years now. So thanks to the guys at Rocky Mountain. Just click that banner and then continue to live your life. Do your shopping. That helps us out tremendously over here. Gives us a slice of what you guys are purchasing. Lets them know that you like this damn show. And they retain our services for the remainder of the year and hopefully the future. So thank you for the people that actually do that. We appreciate it. You can go to fxrracing.com like a lot of you have been doing. The new Vapor gear. Aiden just said yours. Favorite gear is the Vapor line.
It is.
You wore it today at Glen Helen.
I like how they're bringing. They don't usually have gear with gray in it or anything.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, gray high vis. I wish I knew the exact name because they have these weird names for the color. But Vapor is the ventilated gear. Summertime is around the corner. Holy hell, 117 degrees is right there. Satan is there with his pitchfork, going, "I'm gonna cook you," but you can't cook us if we're in Vapor. FXR.
Vapor.
FXRRacing.com. Use the code KKMX35, or you're a lady and you love to ride. We love you over here at Kiefer Inc. Testing, and we have a special, special code for you wonderful women out there. Hit me up, Chris, at KieferIncTesting.com, and I will get you that code. And please let me know that you're a lady and not some dude just trying to get a better discount. You sons of bitches, I see ya. REP Suspension, Mark, Chelsea, the whole group over there at REP Suspension do great work. Currently YZ450F, KX450 stuff on the bikes right now in the shop. Mark knows KYB, he knows Showa. Obviously, he knows WP. So if you're looking for a better ride or you just want to get some stuff serviced, try them. They're a bunch of great people over there, and they do great work. Mark will look into your soul and know exactly what kind of setting you want.
Yep.
We were just talking about Mark's eyes the other day and how he just looks through us when we talk to him about suspension. He sees things that I can't see.
Probably reads your mind, honestly.
Anyway, repsuspension.com. Use the word. That's not a word. I guess it's a code. KKREP. That'll save you $100 off of a revalve. That's a lot. Mm. So go check those guys out. And thank you to all of our 2024 sponsors, Power Motorsports. If you want one of these 2024 KTM 250 Factory Editions, special deal, Kiefer-tested listeners, we have you. We got you. I'll give you David over there at Power Motorsports email. He'll get you a special power price, Kiefer-tested listeners. Works Connection, Kiefer20 is the code to save. Pro Launch device, best hole shot device there is available. They got purple now.
Purple.
You want some purple stuff? Your purple is on your Cowie.
It looks good.
Kiefer 20. And, of course, 6D Helmets. Kiefer 24 is the code to save over there at 6D Helmets. Dunlop Motorsports, screenprintingdone.com. Neil is the guy over there that does all of our merch, screenprintingdone.com. He will do yours. If you have a bachelor party, bachelorette party, if you just want some shirts to say some shit, he can do that for you. You order a certain amount of shirts, you get some for free, so you can't beat that deal. Decal Works, Alpine Stars, Oakley, best goggle there is, Aiden. Okay. ETS Racing Fuels. You know what racing fuels are not having a problem right now?
ETS.
ETS. Mm-hmm. ETS MX-18. There are some problems with some VP fuels going around, so be careful out there. You might want to get the batch number. I'm going to try to do a podcast with one of the VP guys to talk about it. But nonetheless, if you're worried about it, ETS Racing Fuels, Kiefer Inc. is the code to save, and they will ship to your door. KEEFERINC. Renthal, what's your Ben?
839.
Fat Bar, I'm on a 672 Ben on my Yamaha, 839 on the Cowie. Love it. Renthal Fat Bar, go check those out. Also, chain wheels.
Sprockets.
That's a chain wheel.
Oh.
Chains. Grips.
Grips.
Half waffle soft is the go-to for me, or full waffle soft cut four bars down. What's your go-to? You rather have half waffle or you rather have the cut full waffle?
Honestly, I'd rather have the half waffle.
Okay. Maxima is the code. Maxima is not the code. Maxima is
the code.
Maxima is the oil. Kiefer Inc. 24, SC1, MPPL, contact cleaner, suspension clean, FFT. Just not oil, people.
Maxima Wash.
There you go.
Oh, Bio Wash.
Bio Wash.
Bio Wash.
Bio Freeze.
Yep.
Kiefer Inc. 24 and internationalvetmotocross.com. INTLVETMX.com. Lots of races if you're over the age of 30. Go race. Have a good time with your buddies. Bullshit. Bench race. Go moto. Rub it in their face because you went 2-1 for the overall and you smoked your buddy. Make some bets. Have some goals. Go race. InternationalVetMotocross.com. Sponsored by Power Motorsports. All right. We're done.
What can it be now?
All right. So Aiden and I rode the 2024 KTM 250 SXF Factory Edition. It's the last time I'm going to say it like that. So I'm just going to say Factory Edition from now on. So if you guys are wondering, I have the 450 Factory Edition back east over at Brownie's house. God knows if I'll see that again because we haven't heard from Brownie. Hopefully Brownie's okay.
I don't know.
We'll find out. And anyway, I rode the 450 side of the Factory Edition on the East Coast, and I'm very, very impressed. To me, a fairly noticeable difference in chassis feel. And now we got a chance to ride the 250 at Glen Helen with the new chassis. So what are you getting on the Factory Edition? I mean, if you're listening to this, you probably already know, but just in case you're randomly listening to this and you do not know, here are some of the highlights for the 2024 Factory Edition versus your stock standard 2024. First off, it's $11,350 for this thing. But standard one is $10,200.
Okay.
So we're roughly about $1,200 more. Hmm. But here's what you're getting that you're not getting on your standard. You're getting an orange frame. Yes or no? When I read these out, do you say yes or no, you like them more?
Okay.
Orange frame.
Yes.
Factory frame protectors.
As in like a skid plate? Like
no, the frame guards. The little plastic ones.
No.
You don't care about them?
No.
Factory radar shrouds, which is the Red Bull graphic, blah.
No.
You don't like that?
I mean, Yes, but I mean, I'm gonna throw graphics on it.
You're a monster, so you're a monster.
I'm gonna throw I'm gonna throw. Well, I'm saying, I'm talking about a regular consumer. Throw another graphic on it.
You're throwing an M claw on there.
Probably, yeah.
Connectivity unit. So that is new, where you can adjust it with your phone on your app. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, because we did try that. We'll talk about that.
Yep.
Black vented airbox cover in the pack. It's not just.
Yes.
You don't know what that does anyway. So you do get that. You get black engine mounts, which are a little bit different from the standard edition. Updated suspension settings.
Yes.
Ribbed factory eat your ass up Sella Della Valle seat cover.
Yes.
CNC factory triple clamps.
Yes.
Semi-floating front brake disc.
Yes.
Factory skid plates.
No.
DID factory wheel set.
Yes.
Orange rear sprocket.
No.
WP factory start device.
No.
A gold chain.
Yes.
Hinson clutch cover. So it's a stock inside internals, but Hinson clutch cover, which is cool.
I mean, yep.
Okay, a Kropovich slip-on exhaust.
No.
Oh, you're out.
I think I'm out.
Okay.
I think I would put a regular
stock
Kropovich exhaust or a stock one.
What do you mean a regular?
Not a slip-on.
You mean a full?
A full, yes.
Oh, okay. So that's what you get. Honestly, it looks pretty good.
It looks sick.
I'm a big fan of orange, guys. I tell you this all the time. I love an orange bike, orange frame. I'm in. I wish KTM would keep their bikes orange all the time in the frame area. Kind of like the Husqvarna Rockstar dish where they have the white frame. I think it looks badass.
Even GasGas has a red frame. I think it looks sick. Yeah,
just match your bike up. I think it looks sexy. So I'm in.
It looks good.
And the black side panels that match against the orange frame, man, that looks good.
It looks good.
All right, so we had a chance to ride this thing. Aiden rode it, and then I rode it. And then for me, a lot of you guys ask me, hey, is it worth the squeeze, $1,200? To me, like, look, if you're buying a new bike, it's $1,200 extra bucks. You're getting a lot for that $1,200. I think the slip-on itself would be almost $1,000. So right there is the difference.
Yeah.
And then you're getting some different wheels. You're getting an orange frame. You're getting a better seat.
So you're kind of saving money, but at the same time, too, if you think about it.
Well, here's the thing. Here's a couple things that are important on the factory edition versus the standard edition. Things that make a difference just right at the top of the show. We'll tell you. The split factory triple clamps make a difference from the standard. The standard KTM 250 clamps are rigid. Mm-hmm. So going to a split clamp will help. So that is an improvement. Now, the Kropovich slip-on is lighter, looks better, sounds cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're not getting more bottom end with that slip-on versus stock. The probably, stock one has more bottom end.
So, yeah, you're probably killing a little bit right there.
But you will gain mid to top end if you like to rev the crap out of your motorcycle. So those things right there are worth over $1,200. Bam, done.
Yep.
So for me, if you can find one and if they're available, you're getting a new KTM 250, why not do it?
True.
2025 models are not allowed at Loretta Lynn's, but you can ride a factory edition.
In a stock class, too.
Yes.
Yep.
So you can ride the stock class with that Kropovich right on that thing because it comes stock. I always wondered about that a couple years ago. I saw a factory edition in the stock class. I'm like, what's up with that? But I was informed that that's how it comes to the dealership, so that is legal. So crazy. All right, let's just start off with some easy things, and you can tell me what you think and banter back and forth. Ergonomically, I feel like this bike is set up for a taller guy. I'm 6 foot, you're 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah.
Sitting on the bike, very comfortable, don't have a problem with it. I do think the bar is a little bit low feeling, but honestly, it fits the bike well. Most of the time, people, when I ride a KTM, I try to run a lower bar bend anyway because it just feels better because I'm more on top of the KTM versus inside of it.
Yep.
Aiden?
I agree. I feel like, honestly, sometimes I when I jump on a KTM, like the old bike.
Which is an old bike. What year is that?
Let's 21. 21 was the year that I rode a KTM. So that bike compared to this bike, I would say this bike feels a little bit more comfortable sitting on it. I'm out on the bars. I can't do the bars. They're too wide.
Okay.
Too wide.
So you will, if you guys do want to, I agree with Aiden, 811 millimeters is the width on the bar. I mean, you can go back several years with these podcasts and listen to this bar width that we're talking about. The stock bar is stiff. I think Neckin makes the bar, so if you want to get a little bit more compliance, you know what I'm going to say. Renthal
even the Pro Taper, I'm still going to stand by some of that too, because the Renthal is a great bar as well as the PT, but you will not find a PT right now. They're nowhere to be found. Renthal has a nice flex to it, more so than the stock bar. But if you are going to keep the standard bar, cut that thing down to 802.
Yeah.
Most of our bars here
are cut.
Well, no, because 839 comes 803.
Yeah.
So we don't have to cut that bar.
Yep.
So 839 fat bar is a nice choice if you're around 6 foot. If you want to stay flat and you're 5'7 to 5'9 in that realm, you can go to a fat bar 821, cut it to 802, 803, and that'll be a nice bend. So that's your option. But I do think it's roomy. It feels good. Honestly, I like sitting on that KTM versus a Yamaha. You get on a Yamaha, it feels foreign. Remember when we used to talk about the KTM's feeling? Yeah, man, it just doesn't feel like a normal bike. It's very Euro feeling. Well, nowadays, the KTM feels very neutral, very flat, and the Yamaha feels very foreign when you get on it. Like, I could ride all the other bikes, hop on a Yamaha, and feel like, holy shit, I'm not used to this bike. But I can hop on all the other ones and be like, no problem.
Yep.
So, good job to the KTM group for creating a cockpit that's very reasonable and, you know, actually is accommodating for a wide range of riders. So that is easy. So more flex, get a different handlebar. I am not a fan of lock-ons. Do you even care?
Honestly, I don't. I don't really feel it. No.
Okay.
No. Maybe a little bit. I mean, my hands hurt at the end of the day when I use lock-ons, but that's probably it. I mean, I don't really mind them.
Yeah. To me, I feel a little bit more rigidity with lock-ons, but again, I'm very sensitive and I'm old, so I want some flex under me. When I ride Glen Helen and I keep stock bars, ODI lock-on grips, I'm always more sore the next day than I am on other machines. I always know when I ride a KTM the next day because I wake up and I'm more sore. I don't know if that's the steel frame thing or if it's the bars or what it is, but I can always tell when I ride a KTM because I'm a little bit sore than I am when I ride a Japanese bike. You don't notice that because you're 18 because you don't care. But some people do care. All right, let's break down, to me, the most important aspect of the machine, the frame. Different frame in the factory edition, which will be a 2025 stock spec. I will say this. KTM is going the right direction, I feel like, for comfort. Is it a drastic change on the 250? No. I feel more change on the 450 than I do the 250, especially on the edge of tire on the 450. But I didn't have a huge problem. For example, when I was doing a lot of testing with Triumph leading up to, you know, some of these tests, we would have a KTM for a baseline bike to compare. As we had a Kawasaki, as we had a Yamaha, you know, all of these manufacturers have these other bikes for a baseline read to see, hey, are we going the right direction? I never had a problem with the frame character of the KTM, and I thought it was okay, but when we got on a 450, man, I was like, wow, it's very stiff-natured. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. And out here in California, at least Southern California, very edgy. The bumps aren't tall. We got a lot of consecutive square-edge bumps everywhere, acceleration bumps, small chatter coming down the hills. It's nothing deep. There's no tall bumps. It's not soft. So I need more flex in a frame, and the KTM 250 is going the right direction, but I still feel like it could use more. Aiden?
I'm going to have to agree with you. I feel like this year's frame is a lot better than last year's. I feel like the bump absorption has gotten a lot better.
So you do feel it?
I do feel it, yes. Okay. Which I honestly, I would prefer this frame over 21 frame.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I still... I'm neither here nor there on it. I think it's okay. I just would like a little bit more compliance. Maybe I can get that through engine mounts or suspension settings. But on the 450 side of things, guys, if you're wondering if you do feel it, you can feel it right away on a 450. I just don't think there is enough torque or engine power on the 250 to really feel that stiffness in the frame. But nonetheless, we talk about contact feel with chassis. So edge of tire contact when you're setting up, going wide, cutting across a bump, or going wide to cut into a corner. The older KTM chassis wasn't good there. Now you have a little bit more contact surface bite underneath you with this new frame. That's what you feel.
That's what I feel, yes.
Yeah. So for me, that is a plus. One thing I didn't notice when I ride it, and I usually do, is vibration.
I did notice that too. Usually on KTMs, it's pretty bad, but it was actually I didn't notice anything.
No, when I hopped on it, I was like, hmm.
Usually through my hands and my ankles is where I feel it. I didn't really feel it.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's the frame or what the deal is with that, but I didn't notice as much vibration with the FE frame, and that I will back that statement up on the 450 side as well. Back east when we were in Georgia, I rode it. I'm like, I don't feel a lot of vibration in this frame. So maybe that is going the correct direction as well.
Do you think that's the different? Could engine mounts help that then with vibration?
Engine mounts can help. The chassis change that they made can help.
Do you think it's the new engine mounts that they did?
I think it's just a combine of everything.
Yeah.
You know, with the updated frame and the engine mounts. And maybe also they could have done something a little bit different with the crank balance on the engine too. I doubt it, but you never know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when we get bikes that vibrate, we'll talk about the KX450. It vibrates really bad. It vibrates worse than a KTM. It needs a crank balance. It needs something because I just hopped on that thing today coming back from a Yamaha, and I was like, holy shit. This KX feels like it's 160 hours on it, you know, and it has 18.
Yeah.
So there's something to be said with that. I hate that feeling when you hop on a bike and it feels old and it's not. So if your bike feels like it's vibrating and it's 10 hours old, it's only going to get worse as it gets stretched. So, and yes, people, I come across some of these questions from time to time or forums. People will screenshot a forum, talk, Vital, wherever these other places are, and they'll say, Kiefer, frames don't stretch that much. I don't care what you say. I've been with a certain manufacturer that has measured frames after a certain amount of hours, and it's quite a bit. And yes, you'll be able to feel it. Steel frames have stretched more than aluminum frames.
When you say stretched, what do you mean by that?
Certain points, like if you just took the frame, right?
Mm.
Stress points of the frame, where it's welded, sometimes it'll relax. I'm not saying it's going to grow, like you're going to have this long diesel, right? Mm. But I'm just saying it'll relax. And then when it flexes, you'll have a little bit more flex, and then it just stretches a little bit. Like it just, I guess almost you can say it's play or slop within the frame. You'll get more of that. And then when they measure all of these points, I looked at it, and the measurements are different from where we started. So we have purchased steel frame units, have ridden them all year, and then they strip them down, and then they measure the points, and those points are greater than where we started.
All right.
They did that with aluminum frames, and yes, they do stretch, but those points aren't as great as steel. So I'm not an engineer. I'm sure I'm going to get a ton of emails with this shit. You don't know. I'm just telling you what I saw from those engineers that measured it, and I saw the paperwork. So, yes, it has happened. Okay? So don't email me and say, that's bullshit, because I saw it with my own two eyes, and it's not being made up. It does happen. So, yes, if you do have a KTM and it is stiff initially, it will relax. I'm going to use that word instead of stretch. It will relax a little bit. Suspension will break in, joints, linkages, bearings, all that will break in. So, yes, it'll feel a little bit more compliant around 8 hours. Now, this new frame, I feel like takes less time than that, maybe 6. But I still feel like on the spectrum of relaxation of frames when new, steel frames need a little bit longer to break in. It's kind of weird because when you talk about it, okay, Kiefer, you're telling me it takes longer for your steel frame to break in, 8 hours. But now you're telling me at 100 hours, it feels more roached out. So how is it that it takes longer to break in, but yet at 100 hours, it feels more roached out than a 100-hour aluminum frame? I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm just telling you guys, I don't know, but that's what it feels like to me. And the numbers say that as well. So you smart engineers out there, maybe you can teach me something. I would love to learn. No problem.
There you go.
Would you like to learn?
I would love to learn.
Okay.
That's why I'm here.
You're learning?
I'm learning right now.
Doing a lot better than you did in the Racer X video. How's those YouTube comments?
I don't know, dude. I'm going to go
check. Don't look.
I'm going to check them.
I wouldn't look, dude. you will not learn anything about yourself. You will feel worse about yourself by looking at YouTube people commenting. It's bad. There'll be 6 or 7 comments about my teeth.
There's never usually. I usually look at comments though from other videos that we did, and it's never about you. I've never read.
Oh,
that.
It's out there, dude. People think I don't know. Like, yeah, I know. It's okay. Anything else on the frame side, chassis side you want to talk about? What about cornering? What do you think?
Honestly, I feel like this thing corners good.
Okay, great. Great.
I feel like this thing corners good. Area 1 and 2, I feel like can tip in. It's super easy.
Light, you mean?
Super light, yes. Which KTMs have always been known for them being light.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I would say, though, maybe not as easy as a 21 KTM. Maybe just because they've added weight, right?
A little bit, yeah.
So I would say maybe a little bit harder, but still light feeling, no problem cornering at all.
We did a lot of comparisons on the video with your Cowie, and people are going to say, oh, he's sponsored by Cowie. Well, he's really not. He don't have a contract.
I don't have a contract.
So if something's better, we're not here to lie about it.
Exactly.
KTM corners better than a Cowie?
Yes. One thing I did notice, though, is like on the edge of my tire, it was a little unpredictable when I would stand up.
Nothing to bank off of, you're saying?
Yeah, like if I didn't have something to bank off of, I was almost like searching throughout the track of trying to find some because I couldn't trust it.
Okay. So you would like a little bit more tire contact feel compared to your Cowie?
Yes. Which, I feel like a Cowie, if it's a flat corner, I feel like I can rear steer and I can trust the edges of my tires.
Uh-huh.
This, I feel like I'm constantly searching for something.
Welcome to my life on my Yamaha. Yeah. I don't feel it that much. I feel like, although maybe it's because it's a 250 and it's not a 450 and I'm so used to having a bigger bike, but I don't feel like that. I feel like it's lightweight, like you said, easy, very neutral corner. You can rear steer, you can have front end steering, but also you're not going to get as much front contact patch as you will if you went to a spring fork. You get more feeling getting off of the air fork going to a spring. That's just how it is.
Yep.
I just recently rode another bike with an air fork and then put a spring fork back on back-to-back on another brand, not a steel frame, and the difference is quite big, honestly. You put a spring fork, you get a little bit heavier steering, you get a little bit heavier feel, and then with that, you get a little bit more contact feel. So you always will get that going to spring versus air, just FYI. So otherwise, I think it corners very well. If you need help cornering, if you like that lightweight feel, the KTM is very good in that direction. Adding a little bit more bottom in, which we'll talk about here in a minute, will help that even more, make it lighter feeling even more. But I do feel like this Acura is so smooth off the bottom.
It kind of kills it.
It kills the bottom.
Yeah.
Like if you wouldn't put a standard 24 kicks, KTM 250 muffler on this, it would be better.
Yep.
It'd be snappy.
Yep.
So the engine, very easy, lots of roll on, but it's in a very smooth, linear manner. It's not going to just be like, whop, you're not going to have all this low-end hit. And this is how it is standard. We're going to talk about the connectivity unit in a minute, but like I would like a little bit more bottom end, a little bit more excitement, and then have that nice mid-to-top linear character that this bike already does have. I think it has a shit ton of top in and over rev.
It's got so much.
Like, it'll rev for days.
I probably barely shift a thing, honestly.
In third or second or what?
Second to third. Like, I don't think I probably ever touch fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and that says something going down the straightaway at Glen Helen up in the Talladega. Like, I feel like sometimes I would need fourth, so you never even got there?
Never got there. Mm. Third all the way.
Yeah. KTM is known for the engine, and they always have, even way back in the day when the chassis was a piece of shit. The engines were always really good. Even on my race bikes in early 2000s when I went to Canada, my engines were really fast. It's just the chassis was shitty. Nothing's changed there. That's the chassis's gotten better now. But, man, this is a mid-to-top-end, over-rev type of engine. You can get some more front side out of it via connectivity unit. We'll talk about that. But for me, the downside is not a lot of excitement with the engine, but the upside of that is a lot of connectivity to the rear wheel.
That is on my notes. That is a positive thing that I like about the KTM is how connected it is to the rear wheel.
Yeah. And with that, can you get on the gas earlier in a corner?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's how it usually is, people. When you want connectivity, you got to have a linear front side or a smoother front side, and you get more feeling, obviously, because it's not so abrupt off the bottom. When you have abrupt, whop, that excitement, us as a human being and a rider, we're like, ooh, that is nice. I like that feeling. Whop, 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 and hop over bumps. But while you're doing that and having a good time, it can break traction. And then you're leaning and giving it gas, whoa, and it might get away from you.
Yep.
I know the Yamaha YZ250 has lost a little bit of front side in 24, but if you're on the 23 YZ250F, so much bottom in, but then it breaks traction, and it's a little bit of a herky-jerky on-off feeling in the corners. The KTM does not have that feeling.
No.
So that is the upside to this linear muffler and engine. It's just it has a lot of connectivity, and you can get on the gas sooner, and it invites you to ride the bike harder. So that is nice. I like that feature, especially when the track is hard pack. Man, if it's soft and deep, you want some of that excitement and maybe a little bit less wah, wah, wah. I'm sorry, a little bit more wah, wah, wah. Wah, wah, wah.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. I don't have a four-stroke sound.
I mean, that's pretty spot on.
Wah, wah, wah.
Also, it runs clean, too.
Yeah, it is.
It runs super clean.
Yeah, it's very, not a lot of D-cell pop. It doesn't, and that's another thing with this muffler. It sounds nice. It's quiet. They last a long time.
And it sounds good, too, still.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the KTM stock muffler sounds good, too. Like, some of those kids that are riding stock KTM 250s, they sound beefy.
And then you got the kids in the Yamahas and Kawis that are loud and...
Dude, the stock Kawi muffler is trash.
It is so bad.
Stock Yamaha muffler is trash.
Suzuki?
So loud.
Suzuki?
Suzuki one sounds
all
right.
I feel like all Japanese bikes, all their stock mufflers sound like trash.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
They all sound pretty bad.
Austrians got it.
They've got it handled.
I mean, obviously, Gas Husqvarna is the same, but like it sounds nice.
It's a tight program over there.
Yeah, it's nice. All right, let's talk about this connectivity unit. Very easy to use. Look, I could sit here and break it all down to you and step by step, but if you're a boomer, you're over 56 years old, you're going to have a problem. it's a problem. It's not a lot of work, but what I noticed from you guys, if you're in your 50s and 60s, I get a lot of emails. Can you make a YouTube video on how to work my Yamaha Power Tuner app, my connectivity unit, blah, blah, blah. Yes, I can, and I will. I'll try. But it's actually very simple to use. You just got to take a little bit of time and learn it. I'm that same person of, I want to learn it, but sometimes it's a lot, it's overwhelming. And then I just give up on it. So when I get a new vehicle, I sit in the garage for 4 hours trying to learn all my buttons and see what it does. And then I go to bed and I feel like I don't know everything and it pisses me off. So if you have this factory edition, download the app. Very simple. Let me look at this thing real quick and tell you what it is. So KTM Connect app, right? You'll pick your machine. You'll connect to your machine because you got to turn your Bluetooth on, right? And then you will, you'll basically, let me try to get in here real quick. You can go after that. After it connects to your bike, it'll show you your motorcycle, 2024 250 factory edition. You put on engine, and then you can create a new map. And then it basically has an interface where you can go to basic or advanced. Basics, very easy. You can just put sand, gravel, hard pack, wet, dry. But if you go to advanced, you can really dial in the engine braking from 1 to 5. So that actually does work really good. There's a throttle response from 1 to 5. And again, light to aggressive, light to heavy, low to high, traction control, and launch control, which I don't screw with because I don't believe in it. No one's touching that. And then there's quick shift, second to third gear, which is really good on this bike because it's a fucking pain in the ass to shift to third gear on this
thing.
It
is a pain.
You have to four-finger this son of a bitch to get into third gear. You're out of a corner, sitting down, and under load. I can't shift up unless I pull in the clutch. I can't do it.
21 bike was really bad with that.
It's the same. I don't think it's got any worse or any better.
Really? I think quick shift actually helps a lot.
Well, I'm saying without quick shift.
Okay, without quick shift, yes, it is terrible.
So there's a point on this app where it says quick shift, second to third gear. Put that thing up on high. Get it. It'll get a little bit of a cutout when you shift, but but it's way better than trying to have the four finger this thing.
You would think if they added a quick shift, they would already make it like that without even having that as an option.
It has nothing to do with the app or what it's doing electronically.
It's
something to do with the transmission and the notchy feel.
You added this quick shift thing. Why couldn't you just put that already? Like, why couldn't you just do that already without making it a button to where you have to put it on and off? Like, just fix it.
But some guys don't like it because of that cutout. Did you notice it cut out a little bit?
I mean, maybe a little bit, but like, I would rather have it cut out just a little bit than have it bound up. Yeah. Like, for a start, like, if you're on a start and you're halfway down the straightaway and you're shifting, and then next thing you know, you can't shift.
Right.
Like, you're probably going to lose a bike length right there.
So we screwed with the engine braking. So what I did with Aiden, he wanted more bottom end. He felt like he had some engine braking and he wanted more bottom end. He said, like, I need more. So I turned the engine braking all the way to light.
Yep.
Turned that thing to 1. I turned the throttle response all the way up to 5, which is aggressive. You went out and you said, holy, it's a big difference.
Honestly, I didn't expect it to be a big difference, and it helped a lot. I was complaining about how dead it fell off the bottom, and I needed more. And then once you did that and I went back out, where I really noticed it was like area 2 and 3 where I got on the gas. And that's where I felt like I needed it the most. And I was like, oh, like it was there.
Really?
Which maybe even going up a tooth also probably would make it feel more of a difference.
Do the Jody,
yes. Mm-hmm. But honestly, that app actually helps a lot.
Yeah, so it's not as interactive, or the parameters aren't as wide as a Yamaha Power Tuner app, but as far as apps go, this is way better than the KX app. The KX app ain't doing nothing after I've played with it a little bit. It helps a little bit, and then there's nothing. So although you don't have a grid to punch numbers in, and some techie guys would like that to see the numbers, this is way easier to read. The interface is much easier to read than the KX or the YZ app. So you just drag the bar across to whatever you want, and then you save the app and you can put it in. So FYI, what I found out, there's the white and the green map.
Yep.
The white map is always a slightly different version of the map you created, and the green map is the map you created. So if you guys are confused right now, hey, I'm going to drag this to 1 and throttle response to 5. Okay, upload to bike. Bing, uploaded. That green, the color green on your handlebar map switch, that's the map you created. Oh, well, what's white do now, Kiefer? Is white stock? No. White has also changed, but it's just a slightly softer version of what you created.
Okay.
So it's always a slightly softer version of what you created. One more time. White is a slightly softer version of what you created.
There you go.
Because I'm going to get an email. Hey, man.
You probably still will get an email, honestly.
No, I will not.
Yeah, I bet you will.
It's a struggle sometimes, man. Hey, Kiefer, can I get a map for my YZ450?
Can't you just go on the app search it?
Listen, Kiefer, can I get a map? Sorry. Kiefer, I can't find a map for my YZ450. What? There's a fucking shit ton of maps in my website. All you have to do, physically, Google 2024 YZ450F maps Kiefer in Google. Magic happens, people. Magic. It's there. Holy crap. It's there. It's amazing what Google can find. So, again, the white map is a slightly softer version of the green map.
And what's the green map?
The map you created. So, yeah, it does work very well. So if you guys want to alter your engine a little bit, or you guys want to create a little bit more engine braking, maybe you want a little bit more front-end traction, grab that bar and give it a little bit more engine braking, and that will help the front end bite a little bit more.
Don't forget, it's also got the Lip Pro feature on it as well.
Yes. You will have to buy the Lip Pro feature.
It's a fender, isn't it?
Well, yes. So that GPS is on your front fender.
Yep.
Which is cool. And it does go off of RPM as well.
Yep.
So you can tell what RPM you're in. You can actually go in the app and figure all that out, which is really cool. I haven't dived in that hard yet with it. But yes, for a little fee, you can get your Lip Pro download to your phone. You have your laps. It's all GPS and it's off of your ECU as well, so the RPM will actually follow you around the track, so it'll tell you where you're at. So that is very knowledgeable. So it's a very interactive and smart app that KTM is providing. So I like that. I wish Yamaha would do that with theirs, so we have RPM-based tuning. I like that. Mm-hmm. That'll tell me a lot more. Hey, I want a little bit more here over here on this side of the track. Like, where at, Aiden? Oh, right here in this corner, Dad. I want a little bit more bottom end. Okay, I go to that app, and I drag that little bar around to that corner, and it says, oh, Aiden's here at 8,600 RPM. You need more here? Yep. I'll increase what you need within the RPM range.
I think that's cool.
It makes it so much easier.
That's cool.
So that is really cool. And yes, it does work. So yeah, if you want a little bit less engine braking, get more response, that's what you do. Less engine braking, more response. If you want a little bit more front end traction, you can go up on your response, but also you can drag that engine braking to heavy, and that'll give you some more dive to the front end, which in turn will help your front end traction. Just FYI. Hey, before we talk about this bike a little bit more, stay tuned. Listen to these commercials. I got to do these. So there's some savings within these commercials. So do yourself a favor. About 6.5 minutes of your life, not that long. We'll be right back.
Screenprintingdone.com.
My dream is the world's most powerful t-shirt.
Do you want to look good, but you ain't got the money?
Trying to get some t-shirts made?
Yeah, buddy.
Go to screenprintingdone.com.
This is a t-shirt.
You can get anything you want on that t-shirt.
I'm about to show you guys how y'all can look fly.
Your business name.
That's my business.
Your kid's name.
Oh, Billy.
Your favorite phrase, like, let's go, buddy, or free jailbirds.
I agree.
Anything at all. Screenprintingdone.com.
T-shirt printing business.
Mention Kiefer on your next order and get 10 free t-shirts.
That's what I'm talking about!
Screenprintingdone.com.
I know it's tough sometimes, guys. What engine oil should I run? What weight? Synthetic or non-synthetic? It's tough. But you guys, I've been running blood lubricants for about 2.5 years now. I've had great results. If you guys are looking for some great oil, the Barracuda Blood Series 1040 is what we run in all of our test bikes here. It's specifically formulated for the most brutal racing conditions on earth. Look, heat, high humidity, silt, mud, whatever you got, this Barracuda Blood 1040 can handle it. 1040 is a great weight for most motocross and off-road machines, even though maybe your owner's manual says run 530 or 1050. To me, 1040 is a great weight. Check it out. Barracuda Blood Series. It's been through Baja 1000, the 500, Mint 400, Vegas, Torino, all of our test bikes here. 100% synthetic oil. It's great stuff. You put it in, and I run about 2.5 engine hours. I take it out, and man, it still comes out pretty damn clean. So you can use the code Kiefer at checkout over at bloodlubricants.com. Save yourself 25% off a case of oil. They have all different kinds of stuff. They have suspension oils. They've got sprays, chain lubes, whatever it is for oil-related stuff for your off-road motorcycle. Check out bloodracing.com. Ride-engineering.com. You guys want to get some clamps, some bar mounts, some chain blocks, brake calipers. Adrian over there at Ride Engineering has a lot of quality parts. And if you use the code KT20, that'll save you 20% off what he offers over there. So that's ride-engineering.com. And he is not only the guy who tests the parts, I mean, I help him as well, but he also has an engineering degree. Holy crap. So go check him out, ride-engineering.com. Use the code KT20 to save some money. You guys out there thinking about buying a new 2024 YZ450F, 250F, and of course, they still make two strokes. The new YZ450F is narrower, more compact, and lighter. It's built to do one thing, go faster. 2024 YZ450F is unchanged, but it is a proven winner, has won many shootouts, as well as the all-new 2024 YZ250F. That has won some shootouts as well. And it's all over at Power Motorsports. Go check them out. Get your new Yamaha from the number one Yamaha dealership in the USA. The pros at Power Motorsports in Sublimity, Oregon. Let them know you heard it here. That's right. The one and only Kiefer Tested Podcast. Call or text 503-769-8888 and ask for the power price. I don't even care where you're at in the USA. Maine, California, Florida, Washington. just go visit them, powermotorsports.com, or hit me up, chris@kieferinktesting.com, and I'll get you in touch with the guys over there at Power and let you go rip around on your new scooter. So fun. Dress properly for your ride with a helmet, eye protection, riding jacket, or long sleeve shirt, long pants, gloves, and boots. Do not drink and ride. It is illegal and stupid. All right, we're back. Thanks for listening. Saving yourself some money. We appreciate it. And going off the 250 Factor Edition KTM. So we talked about the app. Now let's talk about something that maybe isn't
the best.
Not horrible, but it's not the best about this bike. Suspension.
Yeah.
I talked about this on the Pulp Show, and there's also a KTM 450 Factory Edition baseline setting up on my site right now. Across the board, KTM on their SXFs have the same oil height with all of these bikes. So what that does, it creates a little bit of a softer setting, and then when you go up in pressure, that can make a harsh feeling. So if I was you, I would, if you want to do this, and you're not going to screw with your suspension, you just want a little bit of a garage fix, you can add 10 mil of oil, and then you can back your air pressure down a little bit. But what air pressure did you run out on your fork? 10?
I think we...
10.6?
So what is stock?
10.4.
We went to 10.6, yes. We went up to.
Yeah. So a little bit of air helps this WP-AER fork hold up, and you will get a little bit more comfort if you're heavier. I'm 170, Aiden's 140.
Yeah, like 140, 145.
So even Aiden at 140, we ran the sag at 104, 105. He went up to 10.6. I need to go up higher to 10.9, but then I'm just harsh. It's a very harsh feeling. So adding some oil to your fork will actually help the comfort of that AER fork, and then you can back down the air pressure. So I'm not completely sold on air forks. They have gotten a lot better. I've ridden forks that are worse, but what do you think about suspension overall?
So back to where this bike was a little unpredictable, I feel like that is where it lacked the most right there.
Yeah.
For example, finish line at Glen Helen, tabletop, right-hander, it would have some big bumps coming into the inside, and one time my fork would want to deflect, and then the other time it was fine, and then it would deflect again. So it was very unpredictable, and it honestly, it kind of, it just made me ride, it made me ride a little bit safer than usual, I would say. Like,
so you didn't hang it out as much?
I couldn't hang it out as much just because I didn't know what exactly this thing was going to do.
Right. I'm a little bit like that. I mean, it's pretty consistent for me. I don't think it's like a 450 where I'm like, oh God, I hit the bump like this three times and I got three different feels. But I just... It creates a little bit of a rigid feeling to me when I start increasing air. And then what happens then? Then I don't have as much front wheel traction, right? And then I'm maybe, like, to your point, I'm more careful in the corners.
Yeah. I do feel like I feel more the track, too, with an air fork compared to a spring fork. I feel like with a spring fork, I don't feel as much.
Yeah. You feel more on the spring fork?
I feel less on the spring fork. And I feel like I feel more on the air fork.
One thing the air fork is really good at is when I slap down. Like I landed, over jumped a double and then landed in a braking bump and the fork soaked it up really well. But that's the only real positive I have to say about it. If I have to land perfect in a jump and then drive through some of those bumps, a little bit of deflection for me.
I do. Same for me.
Did you drop the fork height?
We raised it and then we dropped it flush.
Yeah. And you liked which way better?
I liked flush a little bit more.
Yeah. At Glen Helen's, faster people. Again, not a lot to bank off of, so going longer with your front end a little bit will help that. I always go to like 3 to 4 mil on a fork. There is lines on the WP AER fork. I try to go to the first line. That's counting the cap. Mm-hmm. So first line is pretty good. It still keeps a good cornering character and then just gets a little bit more stable. Again, running the sag about 104 to 105. And then for me, I had to go up 10.9 on the air pressure. There is a baseline setting for the 2024 KTM 250 up on my website. This is a little bit different. I don't think it's that drastic of a change, but I will try to get another setting up for this factory edition up on my website. The shock's actually really good. I have no problem with the shock.
Yeah, but say, I've never complained about the shock.
The shock's always been decent on the KTM. Even when people say, hey, I got a set of cone valves, but I need a track shock, I always say, yeah, I don't think you need the shock. The stock shock is good. You may just get a bladder system for your stock shock, and it gets more consistent. What I will say about the stock shock, it does get hot, and you do lose a little bit of dampening feel in longer motos. Anything like that for you?
I'm not as a pro like you are, so I don't know.
Wow. Wow.
I'm learning.
That's jacked up.
I am learning.
That was sarcasm.
I'm not saying like pro as in like, I'm saying pro as in tester.
Wow. Now it's a double sarcasm.
Oh my God.
I don't even know.
Oh my God.
Wow. So now I'm a pro tester. Now I suck at racing. Okay,
oh my God. Here we go, dude.
That's it.
You're going to write this down now? My kid thinks I suck.
No, it's all right, man. I hang out with you enough. I know where I stand.
Oh my God.
So fairly balanced. I will say WP has done a better job over the years creating a setting for all of us to live with the air fork. But yeah, of course, would I want to go to Spring Fork? Yes. Which one, Kiefer, KYB or 6500? Look, there's not a lot of differences between a WP 6500 drop-in versus a KYB drop-in. I do think you get a little bit more comfort with the KYB conversion, but the 6500 kit uses a mid-valve like the KYB. You're not using a cone valve system. So I will say that I like the 6500 over the cone valve, but maybe the KYB a little bit over the 6500. But very close. Both are a big change, much improved modification versus the AER setup. So, yeah. Kiefer, I spent $11,500 on my bike. I don't want to spend another $1,500 on my fork. I get it. I want a suspension package. Look, and like I've always told you guys, man, and I told KTM this to their faces, if you guys would put a spring fork on your motorcycles like you are on the off-road version, granted, the off-road version isn't going to cut it with the motocross side. If they valved it and sprung it, it could be better.
Could you put the off-road fork?
Yes.
Onto the moto fork?
But who's going to do that? Who's going to have both of those bikes there?
That is true. Correct.
Oh. Yes, if KTM did do that, that's game. That's a wrap. They'll win shootouts. They'll have one of the best bikes consistently every year.
Yeah.
If there's one caveat with this motorcycle, every year when you go to a shootout, you read things or you hear these media guys talking about the bike, we always refer to the fork.
Yep.
And it's nothing about like, oh, these guys just hate air forks. No. If someone said, here's an air fork, Chris, ride it. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I don't give a shit. I'll run air.
Yeah, I had air fork on my KTM. When I did, I preferred the air fork over cone valve.
Yeah. It's a little bit less rigid.
Yeah.
And that's just outer tube, you know, the thickness of the outer tube. To get a cone valve to work good, you got to have someone that knows something like Mark, and then also be real heavy on the bike, like aggressive, to allow you to appreciate what the cone valve offers.
Yeah.
We talked to some guy today with the A-kit, and he has A-kit on his bike, and I'm like, man, I don't think you really need it out here in Southern California because our bumps aren't big enough, kind of like what I said earlier in the show. Like, you can have a good valved stock setup and actually have more comfort than the A-kit. You don't need all that shit. Mm-hmm. I know vet guys want it, but, like, unless you're East Coast, tall, soft bump, and you're slamming into it, you don't need all of that rigidness or beefy valving unless you're riding tall, soft stuff or you're just super aggressive, you know? So KTM, if you do get a hair up your ass, you want to put a spring fork on your motocross models, probably win some shootouts. Just FYI, probably win some shootouts. If you guys care about that, I don't even know if they give a shit about it. I think they do because I hear from other people that you'd be surprised out there, people, how much manufacturers look into shootouts to guide them for, not all, for some of their next year or 2 year down the road production settings. It's out there. It's popular, you know, and we don't do them, man. We don't do shootouts.
We don't do them. I think the last time we did a shootout was like 2016.
Yeah, it's just a bad deal. I'd rather just test a bike, help the people dial in their bike because they're all really good. You can dial in an air fork. I had a revalved air fork from Mark at REP, and I was fine with it.
I was fine with mine too when Mark did mine.
When I went back east a little bit, softer dirt, I wanted something that I'm more familiar with, and that's basically what it is more if it's my own bike and I'm racing on my own time, I just want something I'm more familiar with, and I'm familiar with Spring Forks. It's what I grew up on. So I know what that's going to do. You look at Star Guys on the Yamaha team, they're all in Air Fork Supercross.
Yep. PSF1. So
there's advantages, right? Yeah, it's a different system, but like there's advantages. I honestly see the Air Fork maybe making a little bit of a comeback on other manufacturers down the road. Like I see that coming back.
You think so?
I do. Because I think there's going to be a simpler system that is going to have more comfort, and it's going to save the manufacturer money and cost to manufacture the bike. So why not save some money, sell the bike for as much, if not a little bit more than what you're doing, and then make more money on the back end? Always something, Aiden.
Always something.
So overall, compared to your KX 250, I'm going to put you on the spot. You hate these. I hate these. Give me one thing, because I'll make it easy. One and one. Okay. One thing that the KTM does better than your Kawasaki.
Okay.
And easy. One thing that you don't like over your Kawasaki on the KTM.
So what you're saying is one thing that I don't like about my Kawasaki.
No. One thing you don't like on the KTM over your Kawi, and one thing you do like on the KTM over your Kawi. Okay. So positive, negative.
So the one thing that I'm going to go with that I don't like is the fork, like we just said.
Okay, easy.
That's the takeaway. The other thing, honestly, I would probably want...
Just one thing. Give me one thing positive now.
Okay, one thing would probably be the mid to top.
You like more mid?
Or, okay, actually, it's hard because I have two. It'll either be the throttle connectivity of it,
yeah,
or the mid to top in the motor.
Yeah.
It'd probably be between those two.
Kawi, the stock Kawi, when you have a stock KX250, good snap, has that excitement. But you have to short shift it a little bit.
You have to short shift it, yes.
Yeah. But guess what? 2025, we're getting a new KX250. Hope they don't fuck it up. And from what I hear, people, Showa. No more KYB. Gone.
See, I don't really notice the difference between, like you say, you notice the difference between KYB and Showa. I don't really notice the difference.
What?
No.
You will.
Like when I ride my A-kit.
Nothing's wrong with Showa, but like, it's just a different feel.
When I ride my A-kit stuff,
yeah,
I don't really, I mean, maybe a little bit harsher, yeah. But.
Showa always more of a dead feel. KYB has more of a lively feel. And no matter how, I just wrote about this in Racer X today. Chase Sexton was on the Pulp Show, and he mentioned how he has this, you know, the quote-unquote KYB fork now inside of his bike.
Yeah.
And how much wider his parameters, or what we call in the testing world, the track toughness. He can go from track to track and the bike feels similar to him, or he can just hop on Saturday, first practice, and the bike is within range versus the other stuff that he had, they were chasing it more.
Yep.
So that was always something for me on the KYB side that I didn't have to chase it as much, and it moved more no matter how stiff or how heavy of a spring I put on it. It still moved a little bit more active. Than a Showa, where you went stiffer with the Showa or a WP, you still have that dead feeling, but it's a little bit more of a harsh, stiffer feel, just wasn't very active. So similar to why Kenny switches, Roxon.
So he goes from Showa to Supercross and then KYB to outdoors.
Correct. So outdoors, choppy, bumps, a little bit more movement. He likes that KYB feel.
Yep.
And the Showa stuff, he knows it. It's dead. It's stiff. And some guys like that dead feeling where the bike just kind of sticks and stays where it's at. Mm-hmm. But when the track goes to shit during the main event, sometimes when you have that dead feeling or you have a check valve in your shock or something, it does get a little bit harsh. So you got to figure out what rider you are, what you like out of your bike, and then kind of go that direction. And then the parts of the track the parts that you picked may not be as good. You just got to suck it up. Just it's a give and take. I wrote a story. I talk about it all the time. Action Reaction. It's up on my website. Again, super easy to find it.
Just search it up on Google.
Action Reaction Kiefer in the Google search engine bar. It's amazing. And you can pops right up. You can read it. It's unbelievable. Having my door open for you guys, love it, and then I hate it at the same time because I get these guys that I don't know if they're just lazy or they really don't know how to use the computer because they'll just straight up ask me, hey, Kiefer, you have this? Yeah, I have it all right there. And there's even a search bar in my website.
You literally could have, while you're typing this email, you probably could have saved yourself and just by just looking it up.
Yeah. Right now, Aiden said something about the gearing. For me, I would just keep stock gearing. I'm fine with it. I would want a little bit better of a shifting KT, second to third gear shift in the KTM 250. 450 doesn't really have that. 250 has that a lot. So for me, shifting is a little bit of improvement. Fork needs some improvement. And I would like a little bit more bottom end. Those three things.
Those, yep.
Otherwise, very reliable machines, KTMs. Easy to access air filters. I would run the vented side cover. You get a little bit more bottom end versus the closed off. I take that back. The vented side cover will get you a little bit more mid-range pull versus the stock cover. The closed cover will get you a little bit more snap, but not as much mid-range. I like the way it looks. The clutches last forever. You don't have to change the clutch every 10 to 12 hours like you do on other bikes. So 30 hours for me is probably like 60 hours for you guys. So just KTM has come a long way with the reliability. We talked about this on the show with Chad. The rods are really good. Just a lot of quality parts within the KTM brand. So great brand, great look, fun bike to ride. I still say, man, I need to go get with Jamie or Chad and get a built KTM 250. I want to ride it. One of the funnest bikes I had, Chad built, I don't know what year it was, whatever year the fly gear had was all solid colors.
16, 17.
KTM, when Milestone was open,
17.
Chad built a KTM 250 for this European kid to race EMX. Mm-hmm. Dude, thing was, so, it had more bottom end pull, but it had that connectivity that we were talking about still. Whew. Fun.
Do you think there's also something else in that engine since GPs doesn't have the AMA rule like we do here?
No, I mean, Jeep, you still have to keep the same displacement. That's just, the GP rule is more chassis stuff than engine.
Okay.
You can change whatever you want in the engine, but you got to keep two. You can't have a big bore like me. No.
What can it be now?
So, Chad, bike that I rode, man.
My bike was good.
You had it built 252, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My bike was good.
From Chad or Jamie?
Chad.
Yeah. It's fun, man. Honestly, you put an ECU, some fuel, and get a full Acura system. Good times. That makes me want to ride thinking about that. Good times. All right. So, yep. I think the juice is worth the squeeze. Extra 1,200 bones or so, and a factory edition is worth it for me in a lot of areas. So, especially the triple clamps, that'll help you a little bit more front-end traction, as well as get you some more compliance within that frame that we're talking about. So, the frame is a step in the right direction. We'll see some of that in 25, and let's see how those KTM engineers adapt and make us a little bit happier as far as the average consumer. So, looking forward to 2025 testing, which is, we're in April, so in a little over a month, we're going to be 2025 testing. Can you believe that?
Honestly, that's, why do they do that? Why do they bring their bike first before everyone else?
Just, it's always been that way. May, June is when 25s come out with KTM. And then July is usually when other brands start rolling theirs out. Unless it's a brand new machine, then you won't see it till August or so.
Yep.
Or September. Like the Yamaha when it came was like September-ish, October. And a lot of that was COVID shit, not getting parts, you know, and just slow to come over. But now that we're kind of back up and moving and things are happening a little bit quicker, you'll start seeing normal amount of release dates. So May, KTM, I think we'll see some new Hondas in July, 2025 Hondas in July sometime. And the Kawasaki will be a little bit later, I think August.
All right.
So, yeah, it's tis the season, people. Just when I thought I'm getting a break.
Nope.
Nope.
It's back up again.
I am beat down, but I'm a pro tester here. According to my kid. Hey, let's give it up for pro testers. All right, yeah. You have any questions, tread lightly and email me, chris@kieferinktesting.com. Or if you want to talk about the bike or ask Aiden any questions, how's the email working out for you?
I've been getting some.
You don't tell me.
I've been getting some, yes.
You don't tell me.
Well, that's good. It's after every other podcast that we do, I probably get like one to three is what I get.
Aiden, A-D-E-N, @kieferinktesting.com. Want to get some merch? You want to yell at a woman? Heather, @kieferinktesting.com. And just go to our shop. Again, there's a shop tab on our website. Click it. and then it'll pull up all these magical things that we have here right in the studio that we will ship straight from the high desert of California to you. You can rep for us, and we appreciate that. Honestly, it's cool that you guys wear the gear. It's very comfortable stuff. Darkseid is on a date right now wearing a Kiefer Inc. zip-up hoodie. Let's give it up for Darkseid. Darkseid's life has changed. He has a woman.
Woman loans him her truck.
Big step tonight. We're not going to talk about Darkseid's business on the show, but big step tonight.
Big step tonight.
So
we're proud of Darkseid. He's again, becoming a new man.
That merch may or may not have helped him land a new lady.
One more time. One more time.
Dark. Dark. As my neighbor calls him, Midnight.
Midnight.
Hey, is Midnight there? Yep, Midnight's right here.
Midnight.
Midnight's getting ready to qualify for Loretta Lynn's.
It's going to be good.
So,
it's gonna
Midnight
be good.
Midnight Testing Inc. If you see him out there, where's it? Where are they going? DT1?
It's either DT1 or Kern. It's one of those two.
I think it's DT1. So, you're at the Loretta Lynn qualifier this weekend in the rain, riding in the mud.
Good luck to you.
Sounds like shit. Say hi to Midnight.
Midnight.
Just yell Midnight. He'll know exactly what you're talking about. We appreciate listening to the show. Please support our advertisers. They're cool people. They have great products. Otherwise, they would not be on this show. I have been offered more money. Heather would want me to take it, but I say no. And now we're just a middle-class family. We could have been like Steve Mathis, but
give it up.
We don't take the money because if it's a shit product, we don't do it. Sorry. So the people that are actually on this show, they have great products. Any questions about those products, email me. There's discount codes. Save yourself some money. Use the codes, people. Big chunks of money to be saved, and your wife won't be pissed off at you, so that's awesome. And we look forward to seeing you at the track or even maybe the trail.
The trail?
Man, we're not going to see anybody on the trail.
So, yeah, what are you talking about? We ain't doing
well,
no trail.
I was thinking about it. I'm like, we might go trail ride, but I'm like, it's getting summertime. We ain't going trail ride. Who are we kidding?
It's too hot, dude.
It's going to be dry.
It's too hot.
I'm out. Wintertime, yeah. You could have saw me on the trail. But
I mean, trail, mountain bike. You might catch us on the mountain bike trails.
You might have saw us on the trail leading to the motocross track from Hesperia.
Maybe.
That's probably the closest
you're
going
to
find.
That's probably the only thing you're going to catch us to trail ride.
I got yelled at from a guy, a listener, that said, Kiefer, you promised me you're going to race a quad and race a hare and hound. You haven't done any of it. I'm worried. You're not doing what you say. And I told the dude, I go, you got to calm down, man. I'm only one human being.
Yeah.
I want to ride a hare and hound. I've been telling you. How long have I been telling you?
A long time.
You're a bitch, though, and you won't
honestly,
do it.
Honestly, the reason why you haven't done it is probably because of my fault.
Yes.
It's my fault.
A lot of things are your fault, Aiden.
I know. It's my fault.
We'll see you next week.
See you guys.